Hello and welcome. You're listening to a podcast by Pastor Fred Thompson at Mount Gilead Baptist Church.
We are in the last message, and this message is the third in a series of The Purpose of Christmas. And the third purpose of Christmas is this: Christmas is a time for reconciliation. When I was growing up, and some of you, I may have shared this story with you. When I was growing up in a little small country church in North Georgia, we had Fifth Sunday night sings. And one Fifth Sunday night, they twisted my arm, and I don't know how old I was at the time, maybe 12, 11, somewhere along that age. And they twisted my arm and convinced me that I needed to sing with my sister and cousin for one of a song. And if I remember, I can't remember if it was I Am Resolved or Trust and Obey. I know it was one of those two songs. You see, it wasn't yesterday that we did this, so I'm not trusting my memory on the song that I sung. But I'm going to tell you something that did happen that has stuck with me to this day. I can still see it. I still visualize it in my mind. We sang that song, and the Fifth Sunday night sing was over, and I remember us just sort of milling around at the first front of the church, and I remember people walking by, and they went to my sister and my cousin, and they said, "Y'all just did a wonderful job." I distinctly remember one man walking past me to speak to my sister and my cousin to tell them what a good job they did. The only person who spoke to me was my dad, who said, "I'm proud of you, son." I vowed on that night that I would never sing again. I had 11 years of age. Now, I'm going to tell you how much I held to that. If you think when Fred makes a commitment, he sticks to it. I was 24 years old before I sang in church again. I wouldn't sing the hymns. I wouldn't sing at all. I stood there. Now, I used the excuse immediately after that my voice was changing, because it was. And so, you know, I may have really sounded like some of those contestants on American Idol. I don't know. All I know is it so discouraged me that I said, "I'm not singing." Well, at the age of 24, graduated from college in the church in Second Baptist Church in Warner Robins, and the choir director, and by this time I was probably 26, started encouraging me to join the choir. Now, I really loved music. Now, this is the sad thing about the whole story. I love music, and played in the high school band and just loved it. Of course, high school band, I didn't have to sing. But anyway, I just loved music. And he started encouraging me to be a part of the choir. I finally agreed to sing in the choir. And we're singing in the choir. Well, it came around to Christmas time, and they were doing a Christmas cantata, and he said, "I have a solo part for you." And I looked at him like he had just lost his mind. And I'm thinking to myself, "I'm not doing any solo. I'm just now starting to sing again." And he said, "Come on, you pray about it and you think about it." Well, I decided I would do it. Now, I'm going to tell you that the solo part was a single phrase in this Christmas cantata. It wasn't like a big song or anything. Here was my chorus. I think the verse is there, if you'll put that verse up. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." And we were in choir practice. It came time. My heart was racing 1,000 beats a minute. And it came my time, and I sang, "Glory to God in the highest." And everybody starts doing this. They're trying to figure out where it's coming from. Well, that's today's verse. Glory to God in the highest. Well, I'll just, to make the long story short on that, from that point on, sure, it wasn't too long after that, when I reached about 30, God began to call me into ministry. And my first church, I served as minister of music and as minister of youth. That's a change that God can make in people when they're surrendered to him. So, today we're... I don't remember the tune now. I told you it wasn't yesterday. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors. Now, I don't know what was going on in Israel at the time that the shepherds were in their fields that night. It couldn't have been a very cold night, or they wouldn't have been out in the fields. But there they were in the fields that night, and suddenly a single angel appears to them. Now, number one, you know that had to really shake them up, because the first thing the angel had to say to them was, "Hey, don't be afraid. Everything's okay." You know, And then he tells them about the birth of Jesus. Now, this had to shake them up too, because it says suddenly there appeared in the heavens a heavenly host of angels. And what did they sing? Glory to God in heaven, the highest heaven, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. That's the way you probably remember it from the King James Version, if you ever memorized it. But there it was, the angels saying peace, goodwill toward men. Peace. Doesn't that word by itself just sort of ring a bell in your heart? You think of peace. A lot of times when we think of the word peace, we think of war and of coming to peace at the end of war. Well, that's really not all that the word peace means. If you look right there in the very first thing in your notes, there's a word, reconciliation. I want you to look at what the word reconciliation means. The establishment of friendly relations between parties who are at variance with each other, making peace after an engagement in war, or readmission to the presence and favor of a person after rebellion against the person. The very first thing says the establishment of friendly relations between parties who are at variance with each other. In other words, what is peace? Reconciliation. Reconciliation is making peace with those that you're having difficulty with, that you're struggling with, that you're having conflict with. Doesn't have to be a war. Can be just conflict that's going on around you and in your life. There's a lot of evidence that our world needs reconciliation and peace. Now, I've just listed those for you. National politics. Don't you think that if they could reconcile and have some peace in Washington, we wouldn't be concerned about a physical cliff that's coming up, financial cliff right around the corner, if they just learn to work together on things? Wars. Right now, our very own men are serving on two different parts of our world involved in war, and their lives are in danger. I'm actually told that at any point in time, there's anywhere from 20 to 100 plus wars fighting right at the moment. Now, some of them are just small skirmishes between tribes and some nations, but there are wars always going on, always fighting, lawsuits. Daytime television, I don't know if you get to see daytime television very much, but when I'm home and I watch daytime television, do you realize that the majority of the sponsors of daytime television are lawyers seeking for you to call them so they can have a lawsuit and you can get rich off of it? There's always the need for reconciliation going on, and lawyers recognize that, and they want to capitalize on it. Family disintegration. Now, I'm not talking about just divorce. We already know that the divorce rate is about 50+%. About half of the people who get married are going to get divorced. By the way, statistics not a whole lot better for Christians. But family disintegration, and it's not just divorce. Right now, there are families whose sons don't talk to fathers or mothers, or children don't talk to parents, or parents don't talk to children. It's family disintegration. There's conflict every place you turn. They're fighting over wills, inheritances. They're fighting over where they live or what they get. A lot of things going on. Violence. You know, it's only been 2 weeks ago. I get up in the morning and turn on the television and discover that in Connecticut, 20 children and approximately 6 adults have been killed. I mean, you just turn right around and there's a fire in New York set purposely so a man could kill someone. He even left a note behind that said that he wanted to do his most favorite thing, which was killing people. And 2 firefighters were killed as a result of that. Right here locally, police officer shot. A 9-year-old girl leaves her house to go to a friend's house and never gets there. Violence. Everywhere you turn, there's violence. Reconciliation and peace is what we need. Now, the one place that you'd think you'd find reconciliation and peace is where? Right here in the church. But do you know that I could sit down and tell you church after church after church that are in the middle of fights within the church? Disunity. Church disunity at the very place where peace and reconciliation ought to be the very first thing. We are in need of what the angel said. Peace and goodwill to people upon whom God's favor rests. We need that. Well, here are some popular beliefs about reconciliation. This is sort of the way the world looks at peace and reconciliation. And they say, well, this is how you reconcile. This is how you have peace. One, they just say, more education. Starting somewhere around the 60s, there was a philosophy that developed that if we just educate everybody, they will be smarter, and therefore they'll become more civilized. The truth is, people just became smarter on how to kill each other. The more education they got, the more they fought intelligently. So it hasn't worked. Education hasn't changed anything. A second thing that our world looks at, it says this, more technology. When I was being called into the ministry, and just before God really called me into the ministry, I was working as an engineer in Warner Robins, and I can remember a man walking up to me and looking me. He was an elderly man, and he looked at me and he said, you know, this world's salvation is going to be technology. The reason we're having so much struggle is we just need more technology. Well, all technology, again, it's none of it has eliminated conflict. It has just refined the way we kill each other. It's refined the way we disobey God through technology. Another thought is this: conflict can be prevented or ignored by avoidance. In other words, be like the ostrich. If you got conflict in your life, just stick your head in the sand and ignore it. Avoid each other. Yeah, I've read stories of people who have had conflict with people that they were walking down the sidewalk and see that person coming, and they would cross the street to keep from talking with them. That's avoidance. Let me ask you a question. When you avoid someone, where does the conflict go? Nowhere. It's still there. Another thing is conflict can be overcome by appeasement. In other words, just sort of give in, yield. I'll just appease the person. I'll just agree. Now, if you're here and you're married this morning, you already know that at some point in time in your relationship, whether you're a husband or a wife, you have appeased your spouse. You've gotten to the place where there's a conflict going on, and you just said to yourself, I'm just going to let this conflict go. Okay, honey. It's fine. But where did the conflict go? I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get even with her when I get a chance. It didn't go anywhere, did it? No. You can't take care of conflict through either avoidance, or you can't take care of it with appeasement, you can't take care of it with technology, you can't take care of it with anything that's listed right here. Because here's our problem. James spells it out. James says, what is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from the cravings that are at war within you? You desire and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. There are two things that are identified in that verse that are our source of conflict and why we need something besides these things to take care of conflict. Number one, self-centeredness. It says right there, from the cravings that are at war within you, you desire and do not have. Self-centeredness. I want. It's mine. It's that self-centeredness that seeks to have your needs fulfilled before anyone else's. Self-centeredness. A second thing that's identified that you may overlook when you're looking at it is this: a lack of prayer. He says you don't have it because you don't ask. We don't spend time in prayer. What Paul wrote about what prayer can do for us in Philippians. It tells us that don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And get this, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. God says, do you want peace in your life? Come to us. Come to Jesus Christ. Pray. Pray and give your request to us, but give it with thanksgiving. And when you do, there's a peace from God that surpasses all understanding. The world doesn't understand that kind of peace. They don't have any clue what that kind of peace is all about. Here's just the personalizing of the truth. If I want to see peace, if I want to see peace in my world, if I want to see peace in my nation, in my state, in my community, in my church, even in my family. It has to begin in me. This is where it has to start at, right here, in me. You see, if it doesn't start there, it's not going to go anywhere for you. Now, here's the thing. Peace within me begins with peace through Jesus Christ. See, you and I can't have peace here unless we have peace here. It's got to start here. There's no peace this way unless there's peace this way. Some of you may have seen this. It's been as a button that people wear on their lapel or as a bumper sticker, and this is it. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Now, if you just say that, it sounds the same, doesn't it? But if you look at the spelling, it's a whole lot different. If there's no Jesus in your life, there's no peace this way or this way. But if you know Jesus, you have peace this way, and you can know peace this way. What does that mean, that if we know peace? How does that happen? I believe that there's at least two ways that when we have trusted in Jesus Christ and we have peace with Jesus Christ, that God brings peace to our life. The first one is this. He brings reconciliation with God. We are reconciled with Him. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way." In other words, what? We're all at war with God. We all are fighting against Him. He created us for a relationship with Him, but in the Garden of Eden, from the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, sin inhabits our life, and we are at war, at enmity, at variance with God Himself. And because of that, it says that the Lord has punished him, and this is talking about Jesus Christ, has punished him for the iniquity of us all. Romans 5:10 identifies the fact that we're at war with God. For if, while we were what? Enemies. That an enemy is someone who is at war with, fighting with someone. You're at variance with, enmity with. For while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. In other words, it goes back to 5:8, which is just a few verses ahead of that, that God showed His love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to become His friend first. He went ahead and died for us so that we could become His friend. You know, that we're enemies. We are reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? When we have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, not only does He reconcile us, He forgives us of our sins, but we have eternal life promised to us. Probably the best known verse, 2 Corinthians 5:19, for reconciliation is this. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. He has said to you and I'm reconciling you so that you can be the minister of reconciliation to other people. He's given us a ministry to others when we are reconciled to Him. If we're not reconciled with God, there's one thing that will become evident in our life, and it's the fruits of the flesh. Galatians 5, verses 19 says this, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar about which I tell you in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, when you first start hearing that list, you may think to yourself, well, I'm not in that list. But then you don't have to get too far to start seeing, oh, wait a minute, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. You know what? Start sort of hitting home with some of those, doesn't it? That those are evidences of work of the flesh in our life. Now, the key here is this. those who practice these. As long as you and I are alive, as long as you and I are breathing here on this earth, we're going to have a struggle with the works of the flesh. Because that's a part of reconciliation. It's a part of what God's doing in our life. It's part of His sanctifying us to become more like Jesus. We're always going to be battling those things. That's not an excuse. It's just a fact. It's like that Western used to be. No brag, just facts. Some of y'all don't remember that show. So anyway, that's just a fact. It's something we battle with. But if we don't, and then we're not reconciled with God, these things grow. These things don't just stay the same, they grow. There are things in them because, why? We are at enmity and at war with God. We practice those things. But when we're reconciled with God, what should be evident in our life is the fruits of the Spirit, which Paul turns right around and says in those next verses, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Isn't that great? Just hearing those verses make you feel like this is what I want in my life. And what God promises is this: if you are reconciled to God, God's going to be at work in you producing the fruits of the Spirit, which are those things: love, joy, and peace. You should begin to see those become more evident in your life the longer you walk with the Lord. Here's the truth: if we continue to fight against God, we will remain unreconciled. The very last part of that verse that I read about the works of the flesh or the fruits of the flesh is this: that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're not reconciled with God, guess what? You will be eternally unreconciled with God. You will be eternally separated from God. You will be eternally at war with God. Now, Rick Warren, I like the way he said this. Because you want to think about that? Do you want to keep fighting God? I like the way he said this: there's no way you can win a war against God. That's just sort of common sense. You can fight all you want to against God. Guess who's going to win? You know, the Satan is at work right now at war with God. I don't know if somehow in the back of his mind Satan thinks, I'm still going to get the upper hand. But you know what? According to my word, he never will. According to my word, he can be at war with God all he wants. But at the end, it says that he'll be cast into the fiery pit forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He'll never win the war against God. At the end of many of the world wars, and World War II, the war with Germany and the war with Japan, when it finally came to that part where it was obvious that there was no way that Germany and Japan could win, what did they call for? An unconditional surrender. You know what? The only way you and I can survive in the war against God is not fighting Him. It's by an unconditional surrender. That's the only choice for peace with God, is unconditional surrender. How do we unconditionally surrender Him? It's through our belief in and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's that giving up, that fight against Him. Now, here's a wonderful promise from Jesus when we surrender to Him unconditionally. I love the words from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Wow. You know what? I read those, I get relaxed. I just sort of want to slump down up here when I read the words. They're so relaxing. I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Don't fight against me. Unconditionally surrender. Come to Him. Life is filled with some heavy burdens. You know, I don't know what it is. There's all kind of heavy burdens that people go through, and not just out in the world, people right here. They're health burdens. There's family burdens. There's financial burdens. There's job burdens. There are some people looking for jobs, and there's some people wishing they could change jobs, and you know, it's just a burden. Life is that way. So in the middle of that burden that we face life, hear the words of Jesus say, "Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." It's a wonderful promise. Well, not only are we at war with God, we are also at war with each other. You know, it's a challenge. Probably the reason we get along sometimes together is that the only people we're going home with after church today are our spouses. And somehow we've worked through our conflicts, and we've learned to live with each other. But if you put us together in a house somewhere, we may have some new conflicts along the way. It's just difficult to get along with people. That's just something about it. Well, the Bible tells us that we can be reconciled with one another in at least two ways. Number one is through forgiveness. Reconciliation with others through forgiveness. Now, the truth is, you and I can only forgive when we have been fully forgiven. We can only forgive others when we have been fully forgiven ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, "Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." See, the first step is reconciliation with God. Full forgiveness experienced with God. Then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation that we can offer forgiveness to one another. If we do not forgive, if we choose not to forgive, then unforgiveness keeps us stuck in the past. Now, we've talked about this in the past in some other sermons. Unforgiveness leads to resentment, and resentment leads to bitterness. When you're unforgiving, or you're resentful, or you're bitter, can I tell you where your thoughts are? They're not about today. They're about back there when someone did something to you and you haven't forgiven them. You're stuck. You don't ever move past it. You can't get past it. It's there. You need that forgiveness in your life to keep you from being stuck in the past and moving ahead. Matthew 5:9 says, "The peacemakers are blessed, for they will be called sons of God." God blesses those who want to be peacemakers. Here's the definition of a peacemaker: those who actively work to bring about peace and reconciliation where there is hatred and enmity. God blesses peacemakers and declares them to be his children. He wants us. He tells us, if you are willing to be a peacemaker, he will bless you. It's to work in those places where there's enmity or there's variance between you and someone else. Or maybe sometimes God may cause you to help someone else who's going through a problem that needs to be reconciled through conflict. I want you to understand, there's a misconception a lot of people have about forgiveness and about peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. See, a lot of people think when he says peace on earth, goodwill toward men, or when you get reconciled with someone, there's going to be peace and there's no conflict involved. That's a misconception. All right, peace doesn't mean the absence of conflict with others. Listen, it is the end of hostilities, even if there is no resolution. The end of hostilities. It means you quit the fighting. It may not be resolved. You may know that the person has done something to you that was wrong, and you're not, by forgiving them, saying, "Hey, what you did to me was okay." No, you're not admitting that it's okay. You're simply saying, "I've decided to quit fighting with you about this. I've decided to no longer hold you accountable to me for what you've done. It was wrong. I'm not restoring my trust to you. But I'm offering you an end to hostilities. I'm offering an end to that, even if there's no resolution." From God's perspective, our relationships are more important than the resolution of conflict. God wants us first and foremost to resolve our relationships, even if there's not resolution to them. He tells us in Matthew 5, "So if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you." There's a war. There's enmity. There's conflict between us. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You go to your brother. You offer forgiveness. If they say, I don't want any part of it, in other words, there's no resolution, you still have offered to be reconciled. You have offered forgiveness. Guess who just unstuck themselves from the past? Guess who's still going to be stuck in the past if they don't respond? You're going to be free, but they will still be stuck. Be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Another way that we're reconciled with one another is through unity, through brotherly love. Unity through brotherly love. You know, that was one of Jesus' prayers when he was here. In John chapter 17, when Jesus was offering up his prayer, it's right around the corner from when he would be crucified, right around the corner before he would go through everything that would be happening to him for the crucifixion and then the resurrection. It says that he offered this prayer, I have given them the glory you have given me. Listen to this. May they be one as we are one. Unity. May those who call themselves believers, those who follow Jesus Christ, may they be one. May they have brotherly love. It was his command. Not only was it his prayer, it was his command. He said in John 13:34, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. God wants us to love one another. Why? Because it's the evidence of our reconciliation with God. Not only was it his prayer, not only was it his command, it is the evidence that the reconciliation with God has taken place. He said that by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The world will be able to look at you and see that you have love for one another. And when you do, they'll know that you have reconciliation with God. Now, many of you, and some of you may have this hanging on your wall. There's a little plaque, and it's called a serenity prayer. Now, the one that you have on your wall may read something similar to this. God, grant me the grace to accept the things that I cannot change, to change the things that I can change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Slightly different than the words you see right here. The original serenity prayer has been attributed to Reinhold Niebuhr, who was a theologian. Here's how it reads in its entirety. God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life, and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. That's what you come to when you think about the angels saying, glory to God in the highest heavens and peace on earth to those upon whom his favor rests. This is a picture of that peace that comes when the fact that we've submitted ourselves unconditionally to God's will in our life. You see, even if there were no physical wars going on, even if there was no violence that was taking place around us right now, the Bible tells us we are at war. And it's not a war that you and I can see. In Ephesians it says, we battle not against flesh and blood, but we battle against spiritual darkness. See, there's a spiritual battle that goes on even if there was no physical battles going on around us. There's only one way that we can win that physical battle, and that spiritual battle. That only way we can win that spiritual battle is when we unconditionally surrender Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But we looked at that in the last message about the Christmas being a time for salvation. There's the A, admit that you're a sinner. Admitting that you need Jesus Christ, that you are separated from Him because of your sin, that you are at war with Him because of your sin. B, believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that He's God's Son. Believe that He died on the cross for your sin. Believe that He was raised from the dead. But believe that so much that you're willing to act on it. That belief is not just head knowledge. It's believing that so that you wrap your life around Jesus Christ. And then C, confess Him as your Lord and Savior. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. We sang about some of that. He is the only way that you and I can have a relationship with God. It's only through that that you and I can experience the peace that the angels sang about in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all people upon whom His favor rests.
Thank you for tuning in. If you're ever in the Griffin area, we would love to have you come visit us at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. Our location is 14550 Highway 19 South in Griffin, Georgia. I hope you have a wonderful day, and remember, God loves you.